In February 1943, an American woman faced the guillotine in Berlin's Plötzensee prison. Her name was Mildred Harnack, and her execution came by direct order from Adolf Hitler himself. Born in Wisconsin, educated at the University of Wisconsin, Mildred had chosen to stay in Germany as darkness descended, building a resistance network at the heart of the Third Reich. Her story, deliberately suppressed by both American and Soviet intelligence after the war, reveals extraordinary courage that transcended national boundaries and ideological divisions. While millions accommodated themselves to Nazi rule, this unassuming literature professor chose a different path, one that would ultimately cost her life, but preserve her integrity in history's darkest hour. Mildred Fish grew up in a struggling Milwaukee family where hardship shaped her resilient character. Her intelligence secured her place at the University of Wisconsin, where she met Arvid Harnack, a German economics student. Their intellectual connection became romance, and they married in 1926, united by dreams of social reform and democratic ideals. Following Arvid to Germany in 1929, Mildred taught American literature at Berlin's Knight School for Adults, using her classes to subtly promote democratic values. When Hitler became chancellor in 1933, Mildred showed remarkable foresight. Unlike many educated Germans who dismissed Hitler as temporary, she had studied Mein Kampf and recognized its dangerous intentions. She witnessed brown shirts attacking communists, social democrats, and Jewish shopkeepers, recording these events in coded diary entries. As democratic institutions collapsed, Mildred and Arvid formed the Circle, a resistance group comprising intellectuals, workers, and disillusioned Nazi Party members. Mildred developed effective recruitment techniques, lending carefully selected books, hosting literary salons where political discussions occurred under academic pretense, and identifying potential allies through their responses to specific texts. The Circle initially focused on education, believing Hitler's regime would collapse under sustained resistance. Mildred used American literature to teach subversive ideas about liberty and moral courage. As Nazi persecution intensified, they expanded to direct action, distributing anti-Nazi leaflets throughout Berlin, publishing an underground newspaper, and covering propaganda with messages like "Permanent Exhibition, The Nazi Paradise, War, Hunger, Lies, Gestapo, How Much Longer?" These resistors became thieves and forgers for their moral cause, creating safe houses, helping Jews escape Germany, and producing false documents. They lived with constant deception, even to loved ones, as children sometimes reported parents to authorities. Mildred viewed her mission simply as persuading Germans to resist Hitler's murderous regime. Throughout this dangerous period, Mildred joined a Nazi teachers' union and led the Berlin chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution to strengthen her Aryan credentials, while Arvid secured a position at the Ministry of Economics, carrying confidential documents while maintaining his facade as a loyal Nazi. By 1935, Mildred and Arvid shifted from resistance to espionage, with Arvid's economics ministry position providing access to Nazi rearmament intelligence. When Soviet intelligence recruited him, Arvid initially hesitated but agreed to share information as an anti-fascist representative rather than a paid spy. Moscow assigned him the codename Balt and began receiving his reports. The network expanded to include Harrow Schulze-Boysen, a Luftwaffe lieutenant, and his aristocratic wife Libertas, who gathered intelligence through social connections. Women played crucial roles, transporting radio equipment in broad daylight, pushing transmitters in baby carriages beneath blankets and toys through Berlin. By 1940-41, the group provided Moscow with detailed intelligence about Hitler's planned Soviet invasion. Tragically, Stalin dismissed these warnings as Western disinformation, leading to devastating consequences when Operation Barbarossa launched. Perhaps the most remarkable aspect of Mildred's resistance involved 11-year-old Donald Heath Jr., son of an American diplomat. Beginning in December 1939, Don became an unlikely courier, carrying concealed messages through Berlin's militarized streets to Mildred's apartment. Don developed impressive tradecraft, scanning for followers while pretending to tie his shoelace, ducking into stores to evade surveillance, and memorizing regular pedestrians to spot anomalies. At Mildred's apartment, they maintained a cover story of English literature tutoring sessions. The boy navigated Berlin skillfully, varying his routes and using reflective surfaces to detect surveillance. Most daringly, Don served as a lookout during forest meetings, wearing a stolen Hitler Youth uniform and singing Nazi anthems to signal when strangers approached. As the war intensified, Don's adventure evolved into genuine fear. He witnessed Berlin's transformation, food shortages, rationing, and air raid sirens as RAF bombs fell. Yet he continued delivering not only messages, but also precious contraband like butter cookies, coffee beans, and once a rare orange that Mildred reverently preserved. Despite careful precautions, the resistance network faced mounting danger as Nazi surveillance intensified. By 1939, Germany had deployed over 200,000 block wardens to patrol neighborhoods, while radio detection vans swept Berlin searching for unauthorized transmissions. The fatal blow came in mid-1942, when German cryptologists broke the group's radio code. In September, Mildred and Arvid fled to the Baltic coast under false papers, planning to escape to Sweden. The Gestapo tracked them down, arresting them in Nazi-occupied Lithuania. At Berlin's Gestapo headquarters, they were confined to tiny basement cells. Prisoners endured brutal interrogations lasting up to 20 hours. Some chose suicide rather than betray comrades, while others developed knock codes to communicate through cell walls. The final betrayal came when Libertas Schulze-Boysen, after days of torture, revealed names to a typist for 5,000 Reichsmark, triggering dozens of additional arrests and effectively destroying the resistance network. The Reich court-martial trial began on December 15, 1942, with guilt predetermined. Despite clear evidence of humanitarian motives, Mildred received a 6-year sentence while Arvid was condemned to death. Arvid faced execution with remarkable dignity on December 22, 1942. His final letter to Mildred reflected on their happiness together, recalling their engagement at Madison's Picnic Point. Mildred's reprieve was brief. Hermann Göring exploded at her lesser sentence, and Hitler personally ordered her verdict overturned. The second trial delivered the inevitable death sentence. On February 16, 1943, prison chaplain Harald Polchow found her in chains but composed, translating Goethe's poems. That evening at 6:57 p.m., Mildred Harnack was executed by guillotine, the only American woman put to death on Hitler's direct orders during World War II. Witnesses reported she faced her end with extraordinary courage. Cold War politics obscured Mildred's story for decades. East Germany celebrated her as an anti-fascist hero, while West Germany and the United States viewed her Soviet connections with suspicion. Her sister Harriet ordered the family to destroy Mildred's letters and photographs, nearly erasing crucial historical evidence. Only after the Berlin Wall fell in 1989 did comprehensive documentation emerge. In our era of rising authoritarianism, Mildred Harnack's legacy reminds us that resistance begins with small acts of courage by ordinary people refusing to accept evil as inevitable. Her final words to young Don, "Don't forget," weren't just about preserving her memory, but about our collective responsibility to recognize and resist evil, even in history's darkest moments.